Welcome along to the Age Group Multisport Podcast. This is a platform created to allow age group athletes from around the world to share their stories. Hello and welcome. My name is Richard Conway and I am an age group multi-sport athlete. I've raced for GB in the coveted GB kit, European and World Championships, both in triathlon and duathlon. My first race was in 2017 over in Spain and I've never looked back and I've really enjoyed the journey. And I guess it got me to thinking back in COVID about that journey and about how it would be great if we had a platform to hear other people's journeys. So that's pretty much what I did. I created this for you and others like you and anybody basically in multisport, which is, as we all know, duathlon, triathlon, aquathon, aquabike, both on road and off road. And so here we are, nearly 100 episodes later, and we keep getting some fantastic guests on. We keep learning. We keep getting inspired. And we keep doing it because we love it. So if you enjoy this podcast, please do spread the word. Send out the message. Leave us comment. Leave us a review. Subscribe. Share. Wherever you listen to. We've got our own YouTube channel. And all the other details I'll post at the end of the show. So today's guest.
With the army, they've put rules in place so people can't get funding from other places unless you're like a professional athlete.
Sure.
Like Kat Matthews, I'm sure some people may know who she is.
Yeah.
Unless you're like her level, you can't do it. It has to go through the highest level of chain of command within the army team as well to confirm it.
That's today's guest. That's John Pilkington of the army, and he's an infantryman. And originally from Salford, Manchester. And John got in touch and asked to come on and share his story. John's 21. He's been in the army for 4 years and he loves it. And we get into the weeds of how army life and triathlon life go hand in hand and what benefits he gets from actually doing our sport. As well as the usual background story of what he did growing up as a kid and how he found out about triathlon, we also discuss one of the things that John's been fortunate enough to do, and that's altitude training. And he gives us an insight into the benefits of it and how he felt after doing it. So that was pretty good to listen to. Anybody out there fancy a bit of altitude training, this just might persuade you. So yeah, lots to get into. Fascinating chat, and I hope you enjoy it. And that's coming up. Couple of podcast recommendations, and the first one is the Geraint Thomas Cycling Club, and he had on Lucy Charles Barkley on breaking the Ironman Kona record. Good interview, very relaxed, nice to hear questions asked from a different perspective. So that's worth a listen. And again, that's on the Geraint Thomas Cycling Club. Second podcast I'd like to recommend is the Tri-Dot podcast. And they were talking on their current episode about alcohol and athletic performance. And they were discussing how alcohol impacts athletic performance. And they had Dr. Krista Austin, who's an exercise physiologist and nutritionist, and Bill Shufflett, co-founder of and the CEO of Athletic Brewing Company, who do the non-alcoholic beer. The conversation went on about alcohol intake when it comes to triathlon training and racing and how various types of alcohol drinks affect athletic performance and how long these effects last. So, yeah, pretty good. I was interested because I haven't been drinking now for a couple of years. So it was interesting to hear how other people have felt and see if, you know, I can compare the same feelings. So that was one to listen to. Highly recommend that. And then the final podcast, obviously, is AMP Next Gen, where we're following three athletes who were trying to qualify to represent GB at age group in duathlon. And they're on week 9. One of them's already raced. One of them's got a race coming up in 2 weeks' time. And yeah, they're doing well. They're putting the work in. Give them a listen, giving them some support. Danny, Jerry and Harry. And that would be really good. You can also catch some video of the guys training over there on YouTube, our YouTube channel, which is AmpGB. And they've got them on the bikes and running on the track and stuff. And yeah, just little snippets. They're called shorts, I believe, these days. And they're getting some really good reviews and views. So if you haven't seen that already, just head over to our YouTube channel. And on that theme of videos, I was just about to go on to a podcast chat the other week with a guest that's coming up, and I got to thinking about videos and YouTube, and I come up with the idea of getting some of the guests that we've had already on the podcast to send in some videos that we could put on that YouTube channel. Sort of start a little community of videos, if you like, of what people are up to, training and also racing. So I put a Facebook post out and asked people what they thought, and it got quite a positive response. So hopefully we'll have a few athletes who are going to contribute to that. So you can head over there and follow some athletes that are contributing while they're training, and maybe get some hints and tips and just a feel for it. I know a few of the guests that we've had on have got their own YouTube channels already, and we would like to take some of their footage and obviously link back to their videos. We probably wouldn't put the full videos on, but just little snippets of it, give you a feel of what they're doing. So yeah, that's coming up, I think. We're just finalising the last detail of how we're going to put it all together, and who's going to appear on it, and then it'll be out there. So watch this space. And there was some great sport on over the weekend. Unfortunately, the first world triathlon race was cancelled over there in Abu Dhabi because of heavy rain. And it turns out that they haven't got any drainage systems. Well, they hardly get any rain, I suppose. So they don't have the drainage systems. So if they get heavy rain, it just sits on the surface. So they were worried about the bike, and therefore they just cancelled the whole weekend, which was very unfortunate for us both as spectators, but even more so for the athletes who've actually took the time out, time and money to get themselves over there and get prepared to race. So that was a bit of a disappointment. There was some great cycling on over the last week, both Paris-Nice and Tirano Adriatica were taking place in the most foul weather. It was cold, it was wet, it was just like being over here in England, to be honest, which you wouldn't have expected at the finish of Nice at this time of year. But yeah, they didn't have very nice weather at all. But yeah, some great racing. On Saturday evening, I think it was about 6:15 our time, the first PTO T100 got underway in Miami. And T100 is a new distance from the PTO, and they've created a triathlon world tour with 8 races over the year. And it's got 20, it's invited 20 male and 20 female athletes to take part. And this first race had Ali Brownlee in, and he was up against all the young guns, including world champion Sam Laidlaw, and the 70.3 champion also. So yeah, it was an incredible race. It was set on an IndyCar racetrack, and it was absolutely scorching when the guys were starting. It was absolutely red hot, and Ali did really well on the swim, and really well on the bike, pretty much in the lead all the way, and just faded, unfortunately, on the run. but did really, really well for his first race in those conditions. So it was nice to see him back. And the winner was Magnus Dietlev, who was phenomenal on the bike, and his run has come on leaps and bounds over the winter. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And I think the performance in the men's of the day was Sam Long, who came out of the water. I think he was 7 minutes behind, and he ended up second. So it was an absolutely fantastic race from him. And in the ladies, well, it was the who's who of ladies middle and long distance triathlon, which included another world champion, Lucy Charles Barclay, as well as Kat Matthews and several other Brits, and the greatest of all time on the ladies' front, Daniela Ryf. And surprise, surprise, none of them won. It was Brit Indy Lee who came out on top. As usual, Lucy Charles Barclay bossed it from the beginning in the swim and did the same on the bike, and then just faded slightly, and Indy caught her up on the run, again from must be over well over a minute down, and she just went past her and maintained and built up the lead and crossed the line finishing. It was so nice to see her get a top win like that after all these years. And it was, you know, really, really cool. Unfortunately, others dropped out, and Kat Matthews was one of those. She had a calf problem. But go over our YouTube channel. I took a little bit of the video and put it on there of her husband trying to tell her to stop because she just wanted to try and continue because she just couldn't believe her luck that she'd got a calf pull because she was feeling so good. So that was heart-wrenching to see, to be honest, but entertaining at the same time. So that was good. That was a really good race to watch. And then on the age group front, we had the Chile duathlon at Castle Coombe, and there were several of our previous guests racing over there. I'm going to give them a shout out. And if I missed anybody, I do apologise. I did go down the list of finishers, and if I've missed you, I do apologise now. And Karina Kaufman, she came first in her age group, and she was the eighth lady overall, and that's another fantastic race from Karina. Christina Dove, she also qualified. I think she was third in her age group, so well done. David Pearson from Age Group News, and also My Try Ranking. He was racing and he did well, really well, considering he lost his shoe trying to get on his bike. He was fourth in his age group. Ben Somerville, he was fifth in his age group. Ross Crombie, third in his age group. And John Armstrong, Robert Myler, and Jason Wilf Williams were also racing. Didn't quite catch where they'd come. But well done to everybody who was racing. The conditions weren't favourable, but yeah, another one ticked off. Next one's up in Scotland, up at East Fortune, put on by the Tri Works organisation, and we will be up there. There's a few from our club racing and trying to qualify, so I'll be there supporting. So if you're up there, I'll be wearing the AMP cap. Come and say hello, and yeah, we'll have a chat. Right, on to the main event. I hope you enjoy this one. It was really nice to chat to John, and we shall see you on the other side. Just if you'd like to tell us who you are and where you are, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I'm John Pilkington, 21, from Manchester, and at the minute I'm living over in Cyprus with the British Army.
Cool. And the first burning question is, are you a blue or are you a red?
Oh, red through and through.
I thought you must be, being from Salford.
Yeah, gotta be, aren't you?
I follow United. I'm not from Manchester, but I do follow United. I have done since I was a kid. What are you thinking these days? What's going on? Before we get into anything else.
Oh, It's not good, is it? Let's just say that. Let's leave that there. It's not
Leave
good.
it there, yeah. That's probably wise, actually. But I think there's light on the horizon, isn't there? Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
What did you do growing up as a kid then, John? What sporting things did you get into?
Yeah, as a kid, obviously being from Salford, seeing United around the corner, played for the local football team, North Walton. That's pretty good. Quite enjoyable. Just keeping fit, really. Like, more of a social aspect. Nothing serious.
Yeah.
Played in completely different positions, like on the wing, centre mid, in net a few times. But that's what I did mainly as a kid.
Yeah. And did you said you played for a local team. Did you get to see United a lot then, living locally, growing up?
Not
No.
really, no. Being off one of the lads off the estate, growing up with a bit of a rough upbringing, but
Yeah. Well, it's so bloody expensive, isn't it? That's the thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
especially nowadays as well.
Oh, I mean, I haven't been for years. My son's lives over in Leeds, but he travels over every now and then. I don't even know how much it costs actually for a ticket, so not a clue. Yeah, so football till you're about 16, I believe you said in your email.
Yeah, like 15, 16, I think it was. And then that's when I left and joined the army. I was
And
like, I'm off.
what made you do that then?
I was just looking about at my mates and thinking they're all going to college. I hated school. I didn't like it. Full-time education. I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. Then having family in the military, I was like, asked them what it was like. They loved it. And that sort of like pushed me in the right direction. To that end, I thought I'm off. That's me traveling about.
So you've been in now how long?
So I've been in since 2019, so 4 years now.
4 years. Is it going well?
Yeah, I quite enjoy it, to be fair.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, isn't it? That you're enjoying it. How long do you have to sign up for?
So you have to do obviously your training, but you can leave it before you're 18 at any point. So for me, I went to Army Foundation College in Harrogate. So
All
that
right.
whole year, you can leave at any point. Whilst you're there, you get phase one training and you get like higher education. So I did BTEC in IT and public services.
Public services. So, what part of the army are
Yeah.
you now then?
So I'm an infantry now.
Have you got anywhere where you want to specialize or go to? What's the path ahead look like for you?
I just really take each season and then year as it comes. So like every year I'll do my race season as a triathlete, and then in the winter months, so like the base training side, I'll look at military progression.
Yeah.
This year we're looking at like PT wise, so becoming a PTI this year is my main military goal.
I guess there's loads of options for you to get involved in that side of it because you've got to be fit, haven't you? Everybody's got to be fit in there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like fitness, you're in the right place, aren't you, really?
Yeah, especially in infantry anyway.
So, what does infantry entail? Just for the listeners, just tell us a little bit about what you do day to day.
So infantry day to day is not what people think. People think that we're always out cutting about on exercise, constantly digging, living in a wood block. But really, it's doing the basics well from the start of preparation. So before you even deploy anywhere, you've got to make sure all your kit's packed, good to go, the right kit, the right place, right time, right attitude. They're the four main points before you even step out the door. If you don't have them four things right, you're not going to get much further without anything. But in terms of when we're actually on exercise deployed overseas or anything like that, it's a graft. It's a hard graft, physically and mentally. So them aspects are developed before we even step out the door. And then, especially in this battalion I'm in, which is the Duke of Lancs, also known as the Lions of England, we're very proud of that as well.
What sort of exercises do you get up to then?
So we've done exercises in Brecon, Otterburn, all over the UK, to be fair. And it's just basic infantry, where it's like taking positions, cutting through houses, switching from urban to conventional warfare. And then you also have the complete flip side of that, where we deal with public order training, so riot control, and de-escalation of scenarios. which is really interesting. Being put into one situation, seeing how someone reacts in terms of conventional warfare and urban warfare, and then try and put that same person in a de-escalation scenario and seeing how they work and work as a team.
I bet it's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good to be fair. I quite like it. Yeah, I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. And I bet you've changed a lot over in those 4 years, all the things that you've learned. And from a personality point of view as well, probably.
Yeah, I'd say it's made me very mentally resilient, even more so than when I was a kid. That's what's proved people wrong. And that's sort of my thing. Like, if someone says you can't do something, I'd be like, all right, we'll see. And then I'll go and smash it. But
Funny.
I've been like that since the age of about 10.
No, it's good. It's good. It's a great attitude to have, especially when you want to go and do things like multi-sport and triathlon, go hand in hand, really. So how does the whole triathlon and obviously your working life fit together in the army? How does that, is it easy for you to train and progress? Do they give you a lot of help and backing, and is the coaches available?
Yeah, so in the British military, not just the army alone, are really supportive with anyone that wants to do and pursue sport at a high level. So for me individually, my chain of command have allowed me to every morning, instead of doing military PT, which the rest of the troops do, I go and do triathlon specific PT. So that could be anything from a 5 hour ride to a 2 hour turbo session to an hour and a half swim in the pool in the morning. It really does depend on what sort of training stage I'm at. And then we do Friday PT all together. So regardless of what anyone is on in terms of like level of sport, everyone comes together as a battalion, and then we do sport together on a Friday morning. And it's usually a hard session, like a loaded march or a sprint intervals or running around the back area. It's really good, but they are really sound of it, really supportive. If I've got races coming up, and we've got non-important exercises in terms of like practice weeks, because I've got a couple of years of seniority now as well, they don't mind if they've got the room to do so losing a bloke. It's just all about finding that balance with, obviously they're squaring me away by letting me off things, but then I'm squaring them away by representing them in the face of the army, the face of the battalion, and the face of the country now as well.
Sure. And do you have to plan that out for the year then? How does it, or is it like a month by month? Do you choose races and then try and work round it?
Yeah, so I've just got onto the actual Army male seniors team. And we've planned from now all the way up until long distance European Championships. We've managed to do that, but sometimes that's not foreseeable depending on what I'm on. So like it really does depend what we're on in terms of in work. So like if we know we're going to be away, then I can't plan anything
Sure.
for that certain time until I get confirmation to say, yeah, you can crack on and do that, or no, you can't.
But you still train towards that, and then if it happens, it happens, and if not, you just carry on.
Yeah, I've not had many races cancelled, to be fair. I think I've had like one 70.3 cancelled, and then I've done one 70.3 without a taper at all because I got sent away briefly just before, and there's just nothing we could do about it. So I was like, yeah, I'm happy with that. These things happen in life, though, things get in the way.
Absolutely. Not only in the army, in life generally, as for us in Civvy Street, it's life takes over. It's a hobby, isn't it, at the end of the day? So how did it come about? How did you find out about triathlon? Where did it all start?
So I'd been quite fit compared to my peers in training, and then come battalion, and again I was seen as like one of the fit lads. As a new lad, it's quite shocking to be one of the fittest when you turn up. So then actually an army officer grabbed me, and he was like, do you want to come and do this army race, that sprint triathlon? I was like, I'd supported Ironman as a kid before as a volunteer in Bolton, because it's not far from my hometown. I knew what triathlon was about roughly, So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I rent a bike off the battalion because they have their own bikes. So they gave me a bike to use. I had my running trainers anyway. And then he gave me a spare pair of goggles,
Yeah.
which I did that. And then no one turned up apart from me and my age group in under 18. So I won it, which then
Cool.
gave me a bit of gaslighting. And he was like, you're coming to the next one just for the
Yeah.
points. So I was like, sound, I turned to the next one. And there was like 20 people there in my age group and I got smoked.
Well, you've seen both sides
And
of it at
then,
that point, haven't you?
yeah, literally within two races, I think it was a sprint and then a super sprint. But when you look at the build of me, I'm not a sprinter. I'm definitely not a sprinter.
Yeah.
But
So
yeah,
where did
so
it
I was
go from
like,
there then after your first two, what happened?
well, you just get the bug, don't you? And that's you. You're in.
Yeah.
Then I went back and I wanted to beat the people that beat me. Obviously, with that infantry mentality, you don't want to lose a thing. So I went back and I just dug out on the next one, and then the army ones. And then I was like, £100 to go to Gran Canaria. This is flights accommodation included to do Challenge Gran Canaria.
All right, yeah.
So I paid £300 for that whole week to go away and do that event, which was brilliant. But unfortunately, I crashed my bike on the
Oh.
bike course. So I couldn't finish, but then we had the will and the determination to definitely finish at 70.3 and keep chasing, which I did so, and then did a one in Cyprus called the Olympus Man, which is an extreme 70.3 triathlon, and it's notoriously known for being like the Iron Man of Cyprus. It's a 2 kilometer swim at Paphos, 50 mile bike, which with 2,950 meters elevation. And then you do a half marathon up on the trails in Troodos Mountains. And I won that in my age group, but the age groups are different in Cyprus. It's 18 to 30.
Right.
So I
Well,
was thinking, I've definitely not won there.
that's a big old
Yeah.
age group, isn't it?
Yeah, so I was thinking, there's no way I could have won this. And then, yeah, we went to the awards after just to have some food and stuff. And then it was like, first place, John Pilkington.
Brilliant.
Like, well,
Wow.
yeah.
Did was that part of the army then with army mates and stuff, or was it on your own, like when you were home?
So it was a civilian event, but it was entered by military teams. The
Right.
three of us, one lad didn't finish it, and then the other one was quite a seasoned athlete. I think he came fourth or fifth in his age group.
That's, I mean, that'll give you so much fuel to carry on and just get better and better, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been the fire. And then I did a couple of road running races out here as well. So I've done like Paphos 10K. I've come second in that last year. And that's the race I've got up this a couple of weeks on the 3rd of March.
Yeah.
But instead of the 10K, I've gone for the half marathon this year.
Cool. Cool. So you're into the longer distances then.
Yeah, definitely. I think
Cool.
the shortest I'll go this year is Olympic distance, which is the inter-services races, so that's Army versus RAF versus Navy.
Right. And when's that taking place?
That is the 10th of July, but I do have Ironman Bolton 70.3 on the 30th of June. So
Now.
we'll see.
Yeah, see
We'll
how
see.
you got off after that, because that Bolton course is a tough old course, I've heard. I've never done it, but yeah.
So I did Bolton last year, and that's where I qualified for the longest since GB.
All right, yeah.
4,000 meters of elevation was not the one, and the wind was terrible though.
So yeah, just going back then, how did you find out about age group?
So it was again that the same officer was like, why don't you have a look into age group triathlon, because he'd been an age group triathlete himself,
Right.
and obviously I had the same coach that he used to have, and he was speaking to me about it. He was like, if you can get on it, get on it,
Yeah. And was it, did
represent
it
the
explain
country,
how it
why
all
not?
worked? Because it's not the simplest of processes to try and understand, is it? So did he explain how you had to do it, or did you have to just go on the website and try and fathom it yourself?
Yeah, so at first he's like, just crack on and do it, and I was like, yeah, sound. And then obviously being an infantry, we're not the smartest spark in the box.
It is so complicated, and because each race distance is different to qualify for. You know what I mean? Like the longer and middle distances, you just chuck your time in, don't you? Where the others, you've got qualifying races, and so it's not self-explanatory at all, you know.
Yeah, it's quite confusing at first, but again, it doesn't take long to pick up. As soon as you've got it then.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, once you've fathomed it out and you worked out the process, then so you put your qualifying time in from Bolton to race for which event?
So I actually didn't know which one I was going to race for
Okay.
because I didn't know what the percentage was. And then the long distance manager got back to me and was like, "Oh, you're actually in percentage of the World Championships and the Europeans. The Worlds is in New Zealand. Europeans is in the Netherlands." And I was like, "Right, okay." And she was like, "So pick a race because they're like within each other by like a week, so you can't do both of them."
Yeah.
Obviously, with it being long distance, you need like at least a month to recover. So I was like, "Right, cool." And then pretty much the ultimatum for me was the price. Because I'm 21 years old in the army, you know what I mean? I can't be affording 4 grand to go to the Worlds. And I also went to it last year anyway,
Yeah.
and did Nice.
So you decided to do the Europeans.
Yeah, I'm doing Europeans in September.
So, what have you got in between that? Any races coming up? Are you trying to qualify for next year as well?
Yeah, so my aim next year is to come back down to 70.3 distance,
Right.
and yeah, just come back down to 70.3 distance because the long distance stuff, even though I do enjoy it, it does get a bit tedious at times. And I just want to be a bit of a powerhouse on the 70.3 whilst
Yeah.
I'm still young.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more popular, isn't it? I think just generally, like even the pros, there's a lot more taking 70.3 up. Before it was all about Ironman, wasn't it? But 70.3 now has got its, you've got the top guys going for the world championships and things, and it's fascinating to watch. And it's not as long, like you said, and it's, Ironman can be a bit boring to watch, to be fair, can't it?
Yeah, and the thing was, when I set out to do triathlon, I was like, I just want to do an Ironman. I just want to do an Ironman, 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 Ironman. And then I'd done my first one, and I was like, the first thing I said was, I need a fucking brew. And my coach was still at the finish line, he was like, "Do you not want a beer?" I was like, "No, I just want a brew." I
Yeah.
was freezing. Yeah, and then that was an emotional roller coaster to say the least. But it was good. I really enjoyed it. It's hard, and out of doing things that are hard, you get a lot more.
Yeah.
Just don't mean, nothing easy is worth having.
Yeah. 100%. And like you've just said earlier, within your job, mentally, you've got to be so disciplined, haven't you? And I guess your background and your career is like going to stand you in great stead for doing these sorts of distances, isn't it? Because it's all about the mental
Yeah.
side of it. So yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah, that's what I like, and I really do chase a lot of is the mental resilience and the mental graft. Like on the days where you really your legs are killing, you don't want to get up and get on that turbo bar. For me, it was the swimming. If you don't really get up and go in that water, you just simply won't. And some days I said to myself, right, well, I'll just go and do a K instead of 4K, and then by the time I'm in the water, I'd be like, well, I'm here now
I'm
anyway,
here
so
now.
I might as well just get it done.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Hard bit's getting out the door, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes that is the key to doing it. It's just simply getting the trainers on.
Well, so 70.3, have you got any races, the age group side of it? Have you got any races targeted? Are you doing you're looking for the Worlds or the Europeans to aim for?
Not really. I'm not looking towards that because I do one big race every year, so it's long distance European champs. So that's going to be my A race, along with I want to perform well at Bolton
Yeah.
as well. And going up to Trudos, which I mentioned before, up in the mountains for 5 weeks prior to do
Right.
some altitude training.
Cool.
That's but I'm also up there working, so it's worked out perfectly with work as well. I've been like, I'll go away up here for 5 weeks. if you give me this week off. And then they're like, yeah, brilliant, sound. So I've got a week before I go up there, and then I go back to the UK, do the Bolton course, get used to the actual course itself, and then come back to Cyprus for go up to the mountains there. Well, I think about 5 weeks, couple of days, back down to Paphos, fly back to Bolton, Manchester, into Bolton, register, couple of days, carb load, bosh, on a race.
Well,
Hopefully podiums.
fingers crossed for you. Just going to, back to the altitude. Does that have you done that before?
Yeah,
Because again, that's
so I
something
did.
like normal people like myself would never get the opportunity to do, unless I suppose you go to one of the hot islands where like they've got Teide and it goes up. So what's it like? Does it work? Can you feel it?
Yeah, definitely feel it. As soon as, so like I went up there for 3 weeks working up there, and I went from at the start, we'll just use running for the example. I went from running a 5:10 per kilometer zone two pace to running a 6:45 at the start because you just can't breathe.
Yeah.
And then I brought it back down within like 10 days. I seen the biggest change. And then it just in little incremental changes after that. You get used to it. So like walking from where I was staying to where we was eating was, you'd be out of breath, but then after 10 days you're like, oh, I'm actually all right. And then again, when you're running, you're like, oh my God, this is but and then what the biggest shock for me was is, as I say, I was running a 5:10 per kilometre for zone two pace training. Then I've come back to the UK for a few days to see a few of my mates and that. Obviously I was like, I'm still gonna run and train. So I ran Farnworth, which is just for those that are local, to Atherton and back. I think it was like 10, 11 miles. And per kilometre, I was running like a 4:10, a 4:20. So an extra like 50 seconds just from the breathing. And I was like, felt exactly the same, like rate of perceived exertion. I was just like, what is going on? I sent my coach a message and I was like, I think I've got a fucking jetpack on. And he was just laughing. He was like, that's what I was just here. So that's why I'm hoping to smash Bolton this year. That is, it's going to be a tough fight as well.
And are you racing as part of an army team for that?
Yeah, so I've got, at the minute, I've got two teams that I race for. So civilian events, I've got to sort of like pick and choose. I've got to represent the army in some of them, but then I've also got to represent Fusion.
Right.
I'm sure everyone that's listened to probably knows who Fusion is.
Just going to say, for those who don't know Fusion, I just want to give them a plug and a shout
Yeah,
out.
so for those that actually don't know who Fusion are, they're one of the best, in my opinion, clothing brands for triathlon, in terms of recovery clothes and actual performance clothes. I use their C3 bib shorts for training. Absolutely amazing. Large padding. So great for us long distance endurance athletes. And then I use their race suit. It's expensive, yeah, but does it work? Definitely. Internal pockets as well for the aerodynamics for those inclined individuals that are proper little nerds of aerodynamics like me. Top quality stuff lasts. Well, I've had a set of bib shorts now for 2 years and never even.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you don't put them in the dryer.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I think the customer service is next to none as well with them. It's like 1 to 2 days reply emails. And they're really willing to help people. So, which is a big factor for me when I'm signing sponsors.
Yeah, cool. And not just on that then, you mentioned sponsorship there. How does that work? Do you get any
Yeah.
funding from any outside sources other than the army? Or
No,
what?
so with the army, they sort of like they've put rules in place so people can't get funding
Okay.
from other places unless you're like a professional athlete.
Sure.
For like Kat Matthews, I'm sure some people may
Yeah.
know who she is.
Yeah.
unless you're like her level, you can't do it. It has to go through the highest level of chain of command within the army team as well to confirm it. So what I do for Fusion is I just represent them on my social media, and they give me kit and equipment to help me better enable, and discount codes for the season.
Cool. Well, I mean, that's it all helps, doesn't it? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one other sponsor as well, which is 33 Fuel that I've just started working with. Daily Greens, which I have every day, is next to none. It is a natural powder made out of multi-greens, multivitamins, everything that you're not going to get out of like your normal protein bars. Instead of sitting there with 50 different boxes of tablets, mixing them all together. One scoop, bang, a bit of water, mix it around, neck it, done. And they give me free daily greens, and I just promote that for them.
So Bolton, then, are you racing for the army, or are you racing civvy gear?
I've not quite decided yet,
Or
but
is it
last
your
year I did race
choice?
in my army tri-suit. Yeah, it all depends. So if the army give me funding towards it, I will probably then wear the army tri-suit and represent them. If they don't give me funding towards it, I'll speak to Fusion. Obviously, they can't give me money
Yeah.
or anything like that, but I'll probably represent Fusion.
Good. Well, good luck with it all, and congratulations to where you've got to so far. And it's fascinating to hear somebody actually. I've had quite a lot of guys that older guys who've been in the army and come out, and we've talked about their stories and things, but I've never had anybody like yourself who's actually in at such a young age as well, and can talk about how they're fitting it all in, army lifestyle and training as well. It's fascinating. What's next then? What do you want to do? Well, I suppose this is going to be I usually ask these quick fire questions, but I'm going to ask this one now. What are your short and your longer term goal, really, for triathlon? What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve?
So short term, I just want to improve every day and try and hit Bolton as hard as I can and smash Bolton out of the park. A win at Bolton would be brilliant for me. That'd be fantastic. And then long term goals, I want to be a pro triathlete and pushing for big stages like platforms. I found the sport a few years ago and now I'm really enjoying it. So whilst I'm young and still enjoying something,
Yeah.
I'm just gonna see how far I can take it. Yeah, I do hope so. Just depends how much work, give me time off in it.
True. It's all about work, isn't it? All about work. So I've got a few quick fire questions and then I'll let you go. And the first one is, what's your favourite bit of kit?
Oh, Garmin heart rate monitor. Absolutely. Can't train without it.
Yeah. Use heart rate a lot then.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah.
I use it alongside of RPE and sometimes power in turbo sessions. But yeah, if I've not got my heart rate monitor, it's not going well.
Yeah, it's a good bit of kit to have, because you can see actually the zones that you're working in, and if you're creeping up, you can bring yourself back down, can't you? So it's a good bit of kit. What resources do you use? And it could be anything, it could be books, videos, YouTube. What do you look at to help you in your triathlons?
I'd say this is probably a bit of an abstract resource, but other people. So I watch a lot of other people, like in real life, swim. And I always swim with people that are better than me, always run with people that are better than me, and cycle with people that are better than me, and just watch them and just get just suck as much information out of them as you can, be a sponge and take everything in from them types of people, not negative individuals.
Yeah, that's a great answer. A couple of people have said exactly the same thing. Because you can't get any other way, can you, really? If you're like you've just said about training with people that are better than yourself, they're going to bring you on rather than training with people that you're better than. And there's no carrot, is there? There's no one to chase there. So yeah,
Yeah.
brilliant.
Second to that would be my coach, obviously, because he's there 24/7.
Yeah. And is he in the army as well, did you say?
You know, he's not in the army, no, but he has coached military for for a very long time, at least 10 years.
Right. Do you want to give him a shout out? Is he trying to drum up business from anybody or? Well, you never know
He's
who's listening, do you?
quite a busy guy, to be fair. He only really
Yeah.
does it. It's not his main job, but yeah, he's called Steve Titmarsh or Steve British Triathlon Coach on Instagram.
Cool.
If anyone's looking for a really good, very, very intelligent coach,
Yeah.
then he is your guy.
And does he mainly do long distance?
No, he does all distances, so
Everything.
he does like everything. Yeah, everything endurance, he's about it. Loves it.
And I guess this is going to be the last question because we've answered the last question already, which was short and long-term goals. So this is your last question. What advice would you give to anybody wanting to start triathlon?
I'd
Go on.
say my main piece of advice isn't about the physical ability at the start. It's about mental resilience and having the determination and the willpower. If you want to be a triathlete, you've got to be willing to put the hours in. Because if you don't put the hours in, you're not going to perform on race. Earn your race day.
100%. Yeah, great. Fab. Well, that's about it. Not too painful, was it?
No,
Great
just that last
to
question
chat
got me.
to you. Yeah, you were doing so
Cheers.
well up to
Yeah.
that. No, it's been great to
Yeah.
chat to you. And thank you for taking your time out to come on and share your journey. Are you on any social media?
No, I'm on Instagram as well at Pilkington 6807.
Yeah, okay. Because that's our main source as well. That's where I'll put all the posts and things out. And all the promo for the next episode. So yeah, so if you want to look up and follow John, that's his Instagram handle, and we will be watching you and cheering you on. And it'll be fascinating to see how you progress. So good luck with it all.
Cheers for that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, John, for coming on and sharing your journey so far. Only 21. And you've done so much already, so really are looking forward to watching how you progress and seeing how far you can take it. And I've got a funny feeling that's going to be quite some distance. And if you want to follow John, he's on Instagram at Pilkington 6807. Like he said, yeah, go over there and follow him. And we'll be putting a few videos of John on our YouTube channel, which is Amp GB. So you can see what he's up to. And thank you once again for taking the time out to listen. And if you do like what you're hearing, please do share it with your like-minded friends and spread the word. And wherever you listen to it, if you can go over to Apple Podcast and rate the podcast, that really does help. And if you could subscribe, and if you want to leave any comments, you can send us an email at agegroupmultisportpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Instagram also at amp_1967. If you've got any comments or questions, you can DM us. Or if you'd like to come on the show, you can get in touch. If you're an age grouper and you want to share your story and inspire others like John's just done, please do get in touch. We're also on Facebook at Amp GB. And we are on X at Age Group Multisport Podcast. And as I've said, we have our own YouTube channel at Amp GB. And there's loads of videos on there now of the guys doing bits and bobs from the Next Gen podcast. And also a few funnies, and all our podcasts are on there as well. So it's a pretty decent platform. And hopefully there's more to come. So that's about it from me. Don't forget, stay safe, keep training, and love the process.